Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell reminds us how we can live in spiritual victory.
The old devil's so slick when Christians sin. He'll say, well, you sin. You might as well go to the bar, have a party. You might as well go over to your old friends and just go all the way with it because they don't want you at the church. I'm going to tell you something. The devil's a liar, and Jesus always wants you, and spiritual Christians always welcome you. But if you know anything about God, when you sin, you don't leave the church. You get back to the church and be where God wants you to be.
The Bible says that through Christ, we have victory. Through our relationship with God, He has made us more than conquerors. If He is for us, who can be against us? But if this is true, then why do we doubt and struggle? In our series today, we will learn about God's powerful sovereignty and how we can overcome the adversities of life. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, The Winning Side, we will discover how our acceptance in Christ allows us to live in confidence that we're on the winning side. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part one of a message called Victory Through Acceptance.
Well, perhaps you were like me and you learned at a very early age that acceptance is not freely given in the world in which we live. Sometimes you learn that when you're just a kid in school, and maybe you'll recall when they lined you up on a line. I remember standing on the line in the seventh grade, and it was recess, and they were picking basketball players, and there we were all lined up, and the two big guys on the other side, they were picking teams. And I remember how that went, because as a scrawny seventh grader, I was not picked until the very last, and when I got on the team, they're like, all right, we'll take Chappell. Let him come over here. He can be on the team. You know, it just didn't give you a real feeling of acceptance when that's how things went. And maybe you know the feeling. Maybe you know what it's like to be the new kid in the school or the new guy at work, and it just seems like people kind of make you prove yourself, and you're kind of wondering where you really fit. The fact is that the world is just not very good at showing acceptance and at being accepting. I love the story. I read this past week of the backup center for the Golden State Warriors. His name is Festus Eliasi, and he was in a car with some of his fellow players, and they had paid the car driver to put in a cassette tape that actually sounded like a radio broadcast, and there was some music and so forth that played, and then there was a news announcement that came on, and the news announcement said that Festus Eliasi had just been cut from the Golden State Warriors, and he would not play in the playoffs. And of course, he was just shocked, and all the guys were waiting, and then they all started laughing. Now, how many of you agree that is a mean trick? But how many of you would have liked to have been there to see the reaction on that guy's face? They were just keeping him insecure about his position. You know, that's what the world does. You know, you're a nice guy, just don't get too comfortable around here. That's sort of what the world says. You see, the world is not a very accepting place. If you inconvenience them in the slightest way, they'll cause you to feel unwanted or unaccepted. And so this morning, to find acceptance, we're going to go 2,000 years back to the city of Ephesus. And we're going to find in Ephesus that there were people there, like us, looking for acceptance in all the wrong places. But there was a group of people who were beginning to find true acceptance. They had discovered something in Christ that we're going to discover this morning. Now, the city of Ephesus had people looking for acceptance in three ways. First, there were those who looked for acceptance in false religion. They went to a place called the Temple of Diana, one of the wonders of the world. In this temple, there were many statues. There were rooms where filthy worship orgies would take place. There were rooms where people would cut themselves to please the gods, much like the Satanism, much like the false religion of today. People were looking for acceptance through false worship in the Temple of Diana. Then there were people who looked for their acceptance in knowledge, and they went to the Celsius Library. And there at the Celsius Library, they would gather with their friends of renown, and they would do their best to learn and to grow and to find the peer acceptance through knowledge. Then there was a third group. Obviously, this group lived in the terraced houses of Ephesus. They had much in the way of wealth. They had fine tapestries and tile mosaics on their walls, as well as on their ceilings. And there are many people today who look for acceptance in what they have, and they try to buy the feeling of acceptance in their life. But within the context of this city of 200,000, there was a small group, a growing group of people who were beginning to realize that acceptance is based upon your birth, your spiritual birth, and that worth is based upon birth. And that is spiritual birth. And that when they were born into Christ and into the family of God, there were immeasurable blessings bestowed upon them and acceptance bestowed upon them through the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was writing to the church of Ephesus from the Roman prison cell. He expected to be delivered soon from the prison cell in Rome, but he was encouraging them even while he was there. And this morning, I want you to get the essence of what it means to have acceptance in Jesus Christ. I want you to notice, first of all, in our outline today, the position of acceptance. The position of acceptance. And I want you to see in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Would you say those last two words with me, please? In Christ. The spiritual blessings that God the Father has poured out on us are in or according to Christ. In fact, notice in verse 4, "according as he hath chosen us." The word "according," going back to the phrase "in Christ." So the blessings of which we speak this morning are because we are in Christ. Now, the position of acceptance, then, is a position whereby God has placed us through Christ. Now, notice two things about the position we have in Christ. First of all, we see in the text that we have been chosen to be blessed. We have been chosen to be blessed. Verse 4, "according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him." Now, we see the word "according as he hath chosen us." It is "according as," meaning just as, or because we are in Christ, we have been chosen to be blessed. Paul is telling the church at Ephesus that God, in eternity past, chose to pour out his blessings upon those who were in Christ. Now, we as believers are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. That is to say, God knew every one of us, and he knew who would be saved. He knew who would receive Christ. He knew who would reject Christ before we ever had the opportunity to make that decision. And because he knew who you were before you were born, and because he knew who you were before you were saved, God chose that everyone who is saved would live a life that is spiritually a life of blessing. Now, the fact is, the word "chosen" here speaks about God's calling, but also God's provisioning, God's blessing upon our life. The word "chosen" speaks about the fact that we are chosen for the blessings of God. Jude in verse 24 says it this way, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." So God says, "I have called you to a life of blessing. You have been chosen to be blessed." Notice again in verse 3, "Blessed be the Father, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Notice, "who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And so from the moment of your salvation until the moment of your redemption, when you see Christ, God says, "I want you to know that I chose you to bless you." Just as a father, an earthly father, wants the best for his children, God wants the best for you. He wants you to live a life of his blessing. You are chosen to be blessed. And then notice secondly, you are chosen to be blameless. You are chosen to be blameless. The same God who said, I want to bless you, also says, I want you to live a blameless life. Now notice, if you would, in verse 4 again. It says, in the second half of the verse, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Now, every father has this twofold desire for his children. I want my children to be blessed, and I want my children to be blameless. I want my children to be blessed. I want my children to be blameless. As a parent, I always had a goal in mind for our four children. That was that those children would know the blessings of God and that they would live a blameless life before God. There's not a parent here that wants to go to the sheriff's station after church to pick up your children. Every parent here wants your child to know the blessings of God. You want your child to be blessed, and you bless your child. But every parent here wants your child to know what it is to be blameless as well. And so we see God the Father, with His great love, has chosen us to be blessed and has chosen us to live a life that is blameless. Notice the phrase in verse 4, holy and without blame. Holy and without blame, or without cause to shame the name of God. Ephesians 5:26, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. God says, you are my church. God refers to the church as His bride. God says, I want my bride to be holy and without blemish. I don't want my bride to be filled with blame. I want them to be blessed with my word, with my spirit, with my presence. I want them to be blameless in their testimony. Now, friend, we must recognize today that we have a position in Christ, and that we have been chosen to this position of blessedness and blamelessness. Acceptance is positioned in the Lord Jesus Christ, who desires to have a holy people and who desires to have a blessed people. And so we see this in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. And so in Christ, we are blessed spiritually, and also we are to live a blameless life for the glory of Christ. Now let's notice secondly today, not only do we see the position of acceptance, but I want you to see secondly the place of acceptance. The place of acceptance. Look if you would at verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, how many of you would agree with me this morning that people often look for acceptance in all the wrong places? And I do not say this disrespectfully or even humorously, but some people look to food for acceptance. Some people look to sex for acceptance. Some people that become involved in illicit affairs and relationships first went to the internet, not looking for sin, but looking for acceptance, looking for friendship. People look for acceptance in many wrong places. Pamela Reagan, professor of psychology at Cal State LA, did a study back in 1996. The question was, why do young people join gangs? And her paper said, as a title, The Search for Family, Adolescent Males' Motives for Joining Gangs. And she gave three conclusions to her study. Young people join gangs, number one, seeking a second family. Number two, seeking power. And number three, seeking acceptance. They're looking for acceptance in the wrong place. Now we see the position of the accepted. We have the blessings of the heavenlies, the blessings of God, the blessing of His presence. But I want you to think about the place of acceptance. Where will we go? Notice, if you would, first of all, the place of adoption. The Bible says in verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Notice, please, the word adoption. And I want you to understand the measure or the meaning of the word adoption. The word adoption has an interesting meaning. It means son placing, S-O-N, son or daughter placing. It means that God has placed us into His family. Now, I have many friends who were adopted as children. And isn't it wonderful, even in our church, so many families have adopted children here in Los Angeles County. And your desire is the blessing and the blamelessness. Your desire is that these children would know the blessing of God and the blamelessness of a Christian life. But we also see in the word adoption, the meaning son placing, meaning the son or daughter is placed into this family. Lewis Berry Schaefer defined it this way: primarily, adoption is a divine act which one already a child by birth through the Spirit of God is placed forward as an adult son in relation to God. And so the adopted child has the privileges of an adult who has all of the responsibilities and privileges in the family. Romans chapter 8 and verse 23 says it this way: and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. In other words, someone that is adopted knows that it will not end until we see the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Redemption time, when we see God. Notice in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if the children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. And so when the Bible says that we are chosen to the adoption, it's simply saying this: son placing has happened. The son, the daughter, have been placed into the family of God. And when you are in Christ, you are adopted into the family of God. Now, your family may have had some struggles. By the way, how many of you in your family have a strange nut or two on the family tree? Anybody want to testify? And those of you not raising your hand, it's because you're the strange nut, right? I understand that. Now, the fact of the matter is every family has some strange fruit hanging on the tree. But I got to tell you something. When you're in Christ, now then you are adopted into his family. You have a place of belonging in his family, the family of God. And what amazes me about this truth and about this teaching concerning adoption is the Spirit of God in the matter. And I want you to notice what the Bible says here, if you would, please. In Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 5, the second half of the verse, notice what it says: according to the good pleasure of his will. God loves you so much that it is a pleasure to him to bring you into the family and to adopt you. Now, how many of you are saying, well, now let's see, if I was making up the family of God, there might be a few people that, you know, I might not find pleasure in having them in the family. I mean, how many of you have noticed that some Christians sin? How many of you have noticed that not everything under the Christian umbrella is always beautiful? But God says that he knew all about your sin. God says, even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God says, it's great pleasure to him to bring you in to his family. I got to tell you what, that's an amazing love that God has for us. Because some of you, if you were God, you'd say, now let's see, he ain't getting in. And she's not getting in. Remember, my boys used to put signs on their doors or their bedroom, and it said right on the sign for the whole world to see, no girls allowed. And I'm telling you, if it would have been up to Larry at about age 8, there would be no girls in heaven. Now, that all changed later in his teenage years. That's another story. But God says, anybody that will come, I want you to know I have great pleasure in seeing your redemption. And he's speaking here about who they are in Christ. And the predestination speaking about who they would become in Christ and the work that he would do in them ultimately. And so he says in verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, according to the benevolence of His will. C.S. Lewis said the Christian does not think that God will love us because we are good, but that God will make us good because He loves us. You see, God loves you the way you are. And the Bible says in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure." My friend, what we ought to say this morning is, "Have your way in my life, Lord. Have your good pleasure in my life. You have placed me as a son, as a daughter into your family. Now, Lord, have your way. Have your pleasure in my life." And so the place of adoption has been provided by the Lord. But notice, secondly, it's a place of acceptance. It is a place of acceptance. Verse 6, "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved." Now, we're accepted in the Beloved. We're accepted. Why? First, because of grace. Because of grace. Now look at what it says there. "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein we are accepted." You see, the source of this acceptance is not that you deserve it, and it's not that I earned it. You see, religion says, keep working at it, and you might be accepted. That's why some of my Roman Catholic friends, they feel like, boy, if I can just do enough good works and take the sacraments, and if I get to the confessional and confess, and hopefully they'll say last rites when I die, and if it all works out, then I might make it to heaven. You know why? Religion wants to keep you in doubt. Religion wants to keep you wondering. Religion doesn't want you to feel the sense of acceptance and security. But Jesus said, hey, I don't want you to wonder about my love. It's my good pleasure to tell you that you have by grace, not by your works, but by my grace, you have been accepted into the family of God. And some of you today need to stop trying on your own merit and come to Jesus, who loves you and died for you and paid the price for your sin, and find what it means to be accepted in Christ. Because so many today are trying and hoping and wondering if maybe they might go to heaven. But God's word says you are accepted in the Beloved. Now notice a few words here. Notice first of all the word in verse 6, wherein, wherein. That word wherein is referring right back to the word grace. Grace is the only place where acceptance can be found. You see, sometimes a wife doesn't feel very accepted by a husband. And sometimes she'll say, well, I feel accepted when I do this. And the husband will say, sometimes she makes me feel accepted when I do this. There's oftentimes not a lot of acceptance in the family. That's because you don't understand who you are in Christ. And you see, while the world and while even family members make you wonder, God says, listen, because of grace, you don't have to wonder about my love and about my acceptance. Grace is the only place where acceptance can be found. It cannot be found in the law, for all the law does is condemn. But grace can be found in the Lord Jesus Christ, Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of the regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Listen, the only reason I have hope of heaven today is because of the grace of God manifested through Jesus Christ on the cross. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, religion says, keep working, keep hoping, and maybe God will have you in the end. But you see, grace says, come to Christ and be saved, and you will definitely see Him at the day of your redemption. God says, I don't want you to go through life wondering about my love. I'm just saying, we want our loved ones to know, our children to know that we love them. But if we, in our imperfection, have that measure of love, how much more does God love us when He says, I want to justify you by my grace? You see, it's because of grace, and secondly, it's because of Christ.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. As a companion to today's series, we are offering a book by Dr. Chappell entitled Renew, 90 Days of Spiritual Refreshment. It's yours when you make a donation to this broadcast ministry. You can order it by calling 1-800-688-6329 or by writing Daily in the Word at 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.